A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord. This Advent, the rector at the Episcopal parish where I preach decided that he wanted to have an Advent series of preaching with secular Christmas symbols. Now, we all know that during this Advent season, we are really inundated with these symbols. Radio stations in the Chicago area have already begun playing Christmas music 24/7. Santas and Christmas decorations were in the local stores around my house since even before Halloween. And images of Santa's sleigh and reindeer just abound. You know, and every Christmas, young boys and girls, they dream of hearing reindeer hoofs crunch through the snow on the roofs. And why? Well, it's because the reindeer are pulling Santa's sleigh full of presents. And somewhere, they believe, in that sleigh is something special for them. And I'll bet if we analyzed it, the joy isn't so much about the present, although, I mean, let's be real. There's lots of joy in that present. But there's also joy in that knowledge of that gift representing that you're loved, that someone is thinking about you. These reindeer, they pull a sleigh that really, in essence, is full of messages of joy and love, much like the prophet in today's reading. Isaiah is the bearer of a message of hope for the people of Israel. Isaiah reminds the people of Israel that they are loved, that they are remembered. Like the reindeer who pulls the sleigh full of presents from Santa, Isaiah bears the message and present of comfort from God. This verse in Isaiah, this chapter, begins what's commonly known as Second or Deutero-Isaiah. And this portion of Isaiah, through at least the 55th chapter, was written during the Babylonian exile over 500 years before the birth of Christ. And it wasn't uncommon for disciples to cloak themselves in the mantle of their teacher and write in the words of what their teacher would say if they were here now. Many of Paul's epistles, what is attributed to Paul, is questionable by scholars that it might be written by apostles of Paul. The letter to the Hebrews, for the longest time, was attributed to Paul. There isn't anything plagiaristic in this idea in the Bible. Rightly or wrongly, the people of Israel, they blame themselves for their exile from Jerusalem into Babylon. Their temple was destroyed, and then they were forced to live in a strange land, far from all that they loved. And when they reflected on their misery, they felt that, hey, it was their fault because they had broken their covenant with God and Therefore, God was punishing them. Now, God doesn't quibble with them about their theological conclusions. God tells the prophet, who we'll call Isaiah, speak this word of comfort to my people. Tell them it's okay. Convince them that they are coming home. You see, speak tenderly to Jerusalem isn't really the best translation, especially for modern 21st century ears, because during the ancient times, speaking to the heart was actually the locus of logic. That was what you addressed to convince somebody of your argument, not the hearts and flowers that we often associate with Valentine's Day. So God told Isaiah that he needs to convince Israel of this message of comfort, of this assurance that, yes, they are coming home. Use the image of the wilderness, of the Exodus, God said. Tell them that I will lead them once again to a land flowing with milk and honey. Tell them, Isaiah, tell them that they will not return with their heads bowed or their tails between their legs, but proudly, like conquering royalty on a straight highway, the mountains leveled and the valleys raised, and I will provide all this. Now, apparently, though, God needed to speak to the prophet's heart as well, because he needed convincing of this message. In verses 6 through 8, which are conveniently excised, omitted from today's reading, the prophet says, what? Are you crazy? Come on, God. All right, maybe I'm just loosely translating the Hebrew here. But he replies to God, cry. What shall I cry? All people are grass. Flowers fade and the grass withers. In other words, what's the point? People are like grass that just turn brown and ugly. And then you, God, you restore them and then they're lush and then they turn brown and ugly again. What's the point of preaching any good news to them? What's the point of telling them that things will be better when they're just going to mess it up again? Well, it isn't, I don't think, unusual for people to need proof. I mean, have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've been that person, well, if you loved me, if you really loved me, you'd do such and such. In the United States, there's a saying, put up or shut up. Or as they said in the movie Jerry Maguire, show me the money. In the 1970s, there was a popular song called Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree, which deals with this very thing. I need proof. Maybe you remember it. It starts off, I'm coming home on my time. And I've got to know what is and is not mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you know what just to do if you still want me. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. Need some proof here. It's been 3 long years in exile. Do you still want me? If I don't see a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, you can put the blame on me. If I don't see a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. I think today's reading has a lot in common with that song. Both have people coming home after an exile away and they need proof, convincing, that the other still loves them and wants them back home. Seeing the yellow ribbon is what will speak to the heart, speak tenderly to the heart of this man in the song. And at the end of the song, the man can't even bear to look. He asks the bus driver to look for him, and then the bus just erupts into thunderous cheers at the sight of 100 yellow ribbons welcoming him back. Back home, back into his sweetheart's life, not just welcome home, but woo, you're home. And God is like that sweetheart, having tied, many more than 100 yellow ribbons. After those 70 long years in exile, God stretches out her arms and scoops up and embraces Israel like a tired, weary sheep. God welcomes back the straying people of Israel, as well as you and me. It's not any kind of grudging, I guess you can come back. But it's an over-the-top, can't wait to see you, woo, you're coming home type of greeting. God speaks a word that will last forever, as today's first reading says. It's a word that doesn't fade. It's a word we find in our scripture. It's the eternal word that was born into humanity for all time and will live forever, will not fade. It is God's word that says, you are a mess, but you're still my people, my beloved, and I am still your God. God not only seeks to release the world from all that holds it in exile from God's own self, more poverty, illness, violence, but God seeks to release us from whatever keeps us in exile from the fullness of God's love. What is it this Advent that we wait for? That we wait knowing that God will come with a message of hope, of comfort, of relief, forgiveness. Perhaps we feel in exile because of our own poverty, either material or spiritual, worrying about how are we ever going to make ends meet, let alone have a Merry Christmas. Or maybe we just feel just so overburdened to even pray, to connect to God. Maybe we're grieving the loss of someone very dear, or even something dear, a job, a ministry. Maybe the old translation of the English Mass. But God will come. God will come in some way, shape, or form, and will come and give us relief and refreshment. Because God is committed to mess ups like you and me. And this is the Advent message of comfort, hope. God prepares the way for us to make a grand entry into our life back with God. But here's the remarkable thing. God doesn't make us walk all the way home. God will carry us, holding us gently to her bosom, peacefully next to the heart of God, which is surrounded by the largest yellow ribbon, welcoming us home.